Mini episode 412 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. We have with us on the program today one of our most consistently entertaining conversationalists, Evan Roberts of WFAN in New York. Evan, welcome to the program today, my man. How are you?
Yo, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Evan. How are you on this fine day?
I'm very nervous. I'm outside the Barclays Center getting ready for a big game three, and I'm not exactly confident, as they say.
Well, yeah, I can identify with that. You sound like you're doing the patented Rick Morris grip before a big game there. Let's start with the NBA. Let's start with that series. That was the one that I thought maybe had the best potential to go seven games going in. I can understand your nerves when you look at it. Yours is a team built to win now, if not yesterday. Toronto's is a team that's built to win in the future, but there's always the danger that they're going to gel very quickly against an older team like Brooklyn. How are you feeling about this series two games in?
Well, if you would have told me they were going to get a split in Toronto, I'd be thrilled with it. But they had such a golden opportunity in game two to really take a stranglehold on the series. And really the biggest concern about the Nets over the last few months is that they can't rebound the basketball. And it was so horrific in game two that that's probably my biggest fear. Also, the fact that Kyle Lowry has just flat out been a better player than Darren Williams, my point guard, who's supposed to be elite. But the Nets have played really well at home so far this season. They had that long winning streak. But the Raptors are a tough team. And even though in game one they showed nerve, you know, DeMar DeRozan could hit a shot in game one, I think after two games in their own building, I think kind of they got their feet wet. So I fully expect there to be a split. And you said best potential to go seven. I've been saying from the beginning I think it does go seven. And I like the Nets' chances of winning a seventh game on the road because of all the veterans. But these two teams are evenly matched. They've been evenly matched all season long when they've played.
They really are. It's an intriguing matchup in that sense, you know, even when you go beyond the older versus younger angle. And what is it, I have to ask you, about Darren Williams? That's a guy where, again, not just over the course of the playoffs, but throughout his career, I mean, he has had some very, very baffling sort of disappearing stretches. What is it about that guy?
I don't know what's happened. I mean, when you read the box scores and the stats from his days in Utah, you figure he's an elite player. Well, I've watched basically every minute of his time in New Jersey and now in Brooklyn, and he hasn't been an elite player. He had a great stretch in the second half of last year after he did that blood-spinning thing or whatever the heck he did. But this year, he just hasn't been the same guy, and he was very aggressive in the first part of game one, and I like that. But you saw the way he shot the basketball in game two. Nothing was going down. I don't know what it is. I can just only tell you what I've seen with my own eyes. And what I've seen with my own eyes is that he's not an elite point guard, and they kind of need him to be, especially if they're going to make any type of deep run. But the best thing the Nets did this year was when they put Sean Livingston in the lineup, so they basically play with two point guards. But I can't explain what's happened to Darren Williams. All I know is that the better point guard in this series plays for Toronto, not for Brooklyn.
Absolutely, and that's kind of a sad thought for Nets fans, no question about that. And again, when you look at this Brooklyn team, it is a team where, and I understand your trepidation that you expressed at the outset here, because the names are impressive, but again, you know, KG, enough said on his better days being behind him. Paul Pierce, how much longer is he still going to be at the level that he is still at? Darren Williams, like you said, more of a name than a presence there. I can really understand why you would be frightened, and this is a team that could really use some Brook Lopez right about now.
Yeah, they could use his size, there's no question. But I give Coach Kidd credit because they found an identity after Brook went down. They go with this small lineup. They've got great ball movement. They can hit the three, and they defend. Their defense has been a lot better, and their defense was, at least in the first half, part of the reason they even stayed in the game against Toronto. But, you know, they should win this series. They're a very deep basketball team. I think a part of my nerves is that I can't forget last year. I can't forget handing a game away to the Chicago Bulls, in which they're up by about 15 points with 3.5 minutes to go. And I can't get out of my head losing a game 7 in my own building to a Bulls team that actually was about to suit me up at small forward. They were so beset by injuries. So they should win this series. Logic tells me they're going to win this series, but I'm very scarred. I've got scars all over my body from this team, and so my confidence isn't exactly as high as it should be.
Well, something tells me that Mikhail Prokhorov is not going to take any solace from what I'm about to observe here. But when I was saying about some of the more interesting things in the NBA happening off court, really it's Shangri-La what you've got there compared to the mess across town. Phil Jackson coming in to be the savior, quote-unquote, for the Knicks. And I'm sure everyone is really shocked right about now that Jim Dolan is already undermining him and not allowing him to clean house and not giving him the power that was extended to him. So do you think old Phil is already saying, you know, gee, it's a big pile of money, but what did I get myself into?
You know, maybe I'm being naive here. I trust Phil Jackson. I think Phil Jackson's one of the most brilliant basketball minds. I trust him to run my team. And I actually don't believe the stories that Dolan's interfering. And the only reason I don't believe it is that Phil would have fired a grenade at James Dolan a few days ago when he met with the media. If Dolan was doing something, I think he would have said something. And the only thing that Phil said was, hey, so far, and those are key words, so far, Dolan has been true to his word. And I almost took that as, you know what, don't believe what you read, but he better stay far away because I got to be the one to run this team. So I don't know if I fully buy the Daily News report, because I think Phil Jackson's the kind of guy that no matter how much money they're paying him, and I understand $12 million a year is a lot, but Phil Jackson also probably has the biggest ego of anybody. And if Dolan was starting to kind of get involved, Jackson would be the type of guy that would say something about it. That's how he's always operated. He'll always fire something off in the media. So I think as of now, they're letting him do his thing. What I think is interesting is I don't know how much he wants Melo back, because he basically calls it out and says, hopefully Melo stays true to his word and takes less money. Well, it's kind of tough for a guy making $12 million a year to say, well, I want this guy to take less money, because Phil didn't exactly take less money in running the Knicks. So I think what's more interesting right now is, does he even want Carmelo Anthony back? I'm not sure if he does.
Well, that's a great question with all the free agents that may, the big timers that may hit the market this summer. And let's take a look there. Yeah, I mean, if you're implying that Carmelo should take less money, again, any of the super elite players in this league, you just want them to play for your team no matter what. You're not going to sit there and quibble about salary. For Carmelo to, in that sense, be the financial scapegoat for the other bad decisions made, the fact that Amari Stoudemire's knees are pretty much made out of sand right about now, on down the line with the other bad moves that they've made. Yeah, to imply that Carmelo should be the one to pay for that, it's very interesting. I haven't heard anybody else raise the question of it, but it does sort of raise the question, doesn't it? Does he really want him back?
Absolutely. And the other thing is, I hate to be like a Carmelo defender, but whenever people cite the guys who have taken less money, you cite Tim Duncan taking less money to stay with San Antonio. You cite LeBron James. Those guys took less money because they were right there to win an NBA championship. Carmelo Anthony's not right there. So now Carmelo Anthony needs to take less money to stay with a team that's far away from winning at all. It's kind of asking a lot from the guy. I mean, I'm not exactly the president of the Carmelo Anthony fan club, but to put it on him, like you said, to take less money because of the other financial decisions that have been made, and to take less money for the hope, not the guarantee, the hope that you can sign Rajon Rondo, the hope that you could sign Kevin Love, that's asking a lot. And I got to tell you, if I'm Carmelo Anthony, if I'm taking less money, I'm taking less money in Chicago, not Madison Square Garden.
I totally agree with that. And again, Tim Duncan is really the best example of what you pointed out there, because at the risk of sounding like a bitter Cavs fan, if we go back and examine the history, LeBron in the end didn't have to settle for less money. I'm sure Pat Riley told him, look, we're going to try and work out a sign and trade, and they did. And I'm sure LeBron wasn't sitting there saying, oh, no, please don't give up any assets to the Cavaliers just to get me my full bank. So in the end, it really pretty much is Tim Duncan being the only one that really had to do that.
He is. And look, I feel bad for LeBron leaving Cleveland, trust me. But if you look at it and you see that he had a chance to play with Dwayne Wade, a chance to play with Chris Bosh, but even more than that, a chance to put his feet in a pool every single morning, an outdoor pool, not an indoor pool in the middle of Cleveland. I mean, it's tough to really blame the guy. Trust me, it would have been a great story if he brought Cleveland a championship, being an Akron kid. But the truth of the matter is, don't you look at what LeBron decided to do and say, you know what, it really wasn't that bad of a decision. It's how he made the decision that was bad.
Well, and I always said, too, and I don't know how much of this made its way to New York, but it was the way that he basically ran the organization for 7 years. Everyone always said, oh, the bad moves that they made. Every bad move they made was with his gun to their head, and like, hey, you better do this or I might leave. And then in the end, he leaves anyways. I think we had this discussion at about the time of the thing here, and kind of left him holding the bag. That was what was dishonest, I thought.
No, I agree with you. I think that part, the fact he goes on TV, all that type of stuff was wrong. I think he could have done everything a lot better, but the decision he made in the end is a good one, and I will do my best, I promise you. If the Brooklyn Nets advance against Toronto, they're 4-0 against LeBron and the Miami Heat this year. We will do our best to bring down the King. We'll do it for you.
I have nothing against the Nets, so this doesn't exactly apply, but the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So, yeah, I'll have the pom-poms out for the Nets. I'll be right there with you on that. And, again, ever since the summer of 2010, with the outs that were signed in the contract, people were looking ahead now to 2014. That's just the nature of it. So, number of big ones that can hit the market this year. You got LeBron, you got Wade possibly, although I don't know how long the line's going to be for him with his knees, but Carmelo. Do you see any really big moves happening akin to what we saw last summer with Dwight Howard?
No, you know, the only thing I can see really happening is Minnesota realizing they've got to trade Kevin Love because there's no way Kevin Love is going to stay there. So I think there's a possibility that a team like the Knicks tries to put a package together to get Kevin Love, a team like the Lakers tries to put a package together. But I don't necessarily think LeBron and Wade are going to opt out. I think they're going to wait another year. And then the year after that, you've got all those free agents. You got Rondo, you got Love, you got LaMarcus Aldridge who's putting on a show during the playoffs. So I don't know if there's going to be anything too major, but I do think there's a good chance Minnesota wises up and trades Kevin Love now before they're really forced to.
Absolutely. And again, Kevin Love, good friends with, very close friends with Kyrie Irving. So the dreaming goes on and on, I'm afraid, Evan.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.